Congratulations, you've invested in the franchise. Now what do? Typically, you've set up a legal entity. Each franchise company will do things a little bit differently, but they'll outline specifically what, almost like a checklist of what needs to get done. Let's look at training. Join your local chamber of commerce. So we got the staff, we got the vehicles and equipment. There's gonna be a lot of things that come up. Lots to get done after signing that franchise agreement.
Welcome to the Franchise Freedom Podcast, where you can escape the corporate trap through franchise ownership. Here's your host, Giuseppe Grammatico, the Franchise Guide.
Welcome to the Franchise Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Giuseppe Grammatico, your Franchise Guide. Today, we have a great show for you. We have a two-part series, and we're going to talk about what happens after signing a franchise agreement. So we've already made that decision. It's really excited time. Congratulations. You've invested in the franchise. Now, what do? You know, it's like the excitement is there. Now, what are the next steps? So let's dial it back a little bit and take a step back and talk about right prior to signing that franchise. Typically, you've set up a legal entity. It could be an S corp, an LLC, or even a C corporation. Kind of figure all that out. Have a business banking account. Get everything set up essentially in order to sign that franchise agreement. So moving forward from there, each franchise company will do things a little bit differently, but they'll outline specifically what, almost like a checklist of what needs to get done after the fact. So really the next step is going to be, let's look at training. When is the next training after signing that franchise agreement? There may be a in-person component as well as a virtual component where maybe you're logging in and going through a tutorial where you can also have your staff, if any, go through the tutorial as well. So that can be part of it. So training is going to be really important. And depending how you're running this business, if you have a general manager, probably a good idea to have that general manager and yourself go to the same training so everyone is on the same page. They know what's going on. They know what the expectation is. And if they have questions, maybe your manager may have a question or you may have a question, but it's all brought together directly with the franchisor. So the franchisor will walk you through. So depending on the type of business, if it is a brick and mortar location, that's when you're going to start working with a third party company to start looking at areas or specific locations within that area to look and see which is the best spot. You know, they'll do things such as traffic studies and things like that to make sure that works for that specific location. But assuming there is no brick and mortar component, because there's going to be a lot that goes along with that and finding the preferred, typically you'll have a preferred vendor or subcontractor to do the build outs and things like that. But in this case, we'll assume a non-brick and mortar service business. You're going to look at hiring that general manager. Some companies, some franchise companies, and there's a handful, will be a little bit more proactive. Maybe they'll have a department that will help you find that staff. Maybe they'll be even involved in the interview process. But in many cases, they'll give you kind of a general idea of who that ideal person is. And specifically, if you're running the semi-absentee, it's going to be super important because they're going to be running the day-to-day. So part of it is going to be, guidance from the franchisor, and part of it is going to be on your end. You know, you need to decide exactly what you want your role into the business, the hours, not just the number of hours, but when you're available. If it's just night and weekends, you better make sure that you empower your general manager in the day-to-day to make those certain decisions. And maybe certain decisions are completely on you and you have to okay them, approve them. Maybe if it means an investment in the business of more than, $10,000, purchasing or leasing of a vehicle, that kind of deal, that's when you're involved. But, empowering that general manager is going to be key. And again, part of that is going to training together. But you may not have a manager, but you may have staff. So, staffing is going to be key. And one recommendation I make to everyone is join your local chamber of commerce, join a handful of chamber of commerce. Maybe you join 3, 4, even 5. These are they're going to have meetings with other business owners, discuss their businesses, how you can work together. You'll be shocked. I remember when I had joined my local chamber, you threw an idea out there that you were looking for staff and oh yeah, I have a family member or a friend or whatever the case may be, you'll be shocked at how, you know, how helpful they can be. And not only that, you know, they're able to assist and just say, hey, we can recommend a payroll company, but that's also going to be part. How are you going to pay your staff? You know, payroll companies, that's going to be part of it. Franchisor may have a preferred vendor or recommendation, or you know, you may have that option just to go with a local company or national company to handle your payroll. So you know, these are all kind of things to consider. They're going to be things like insurance. Franchisor will list kind of requirements of what is needed for the business. There are items such as health insurance. Again, you may have a preferred vendor, health insurance. They may have a group policy in place, or you can go out and get your own health insurance. For myself, I had used for my current business, my spouse's insurance. So you're able to do that as well. So, you know, you need to figure out if you're going to offer health insurance at the gate. And if you do, you know, how long do you have to be vested or in the business? You know, things down the road to consider also are retirement plans and things like that. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. Really, the basic is getting it up and running. So, you know, putting feelers out, starting to interview for staff, you know, getting that general manager if you're semi-absentee, going to training together and really taking advantage of the training, the support. And it just helps with the information flow. So that's going to be a big part of it. And then specifically with the franchise company, you're going to go through things like what is specifically needed. So if it is a cleaning company, a restoration company, painting, roofing, whatever the case may be, there may be vehicles that need to be purchased. You know, with those vehicles, the vehicles need to be wrapped. There needs to be equipment and things like that. So, you know, that's a key element and something to also to consider, because they don't just appear, right? You know, you're going to have a lead time of maybe 2 or 3 months. So these are items that you will address immediately. And, you know, especially if that's going to be the last piece of the puzzle to get the business up and running. So, you know, threw a lot at you. Again, the franchisor will really walk you through, because you're going to have lots of questions, especially if you never owned the business before. So, you know, use their guidance, always ask if they have preferred vendors, and then they will assist and just say, yes, we have these preferred vendors, or if not, these are the requirements. Maybe you go to a local company. And there are companies, by the way, out there that national companies that'll offer a payroll service, retirement, you know, set up a retirement plan, you know, different insurance, workman's comp, general liability, and things like that. The retirement benefits, health benefits, and the list goes on. So they're able to provide multiple services. So we got the staff, you know, we got the vehicles and equipment, and, you know, putting together and really working the business plan. So if you purchase more than one territory, you know, planning it out and working with the franchisor and how you're going to tackle it. Do you want to go aggressive and go after the three territories at once? Do you want to go after each territory? Just say you had invested in three, one at a time, and kind of develop them over time every 6 months or so. So that needs to be part of the plan. So there's going to be a lot of things that come up, certain requirements in certain states. So if you're in a business that requires a contractor's license or special licensing, right? For example, I use the example restoration because it touches on multiple areas, but you may need certain requirements for the insurance to remove mold, you know, the green mold, black mold, you know, things like that. So you may need certain licensing requirements, and each state is different. So really working with your state in order to figure all that out. So lots to get done, you know, after signing that franchise agreement. You know, funding will all be kind of taken care of. You may have, you know, future SBA funds coming in. So you want to make sure once those funds come in into your business account, that they're allocated properly, right? You know, when you sign a franchise agreement, you kind of have this investment range getting you opened up for the first, just say 90 days. But you want to make sure you have those cash reserves in the events of business that takes a little bit longer to get paid or just takes a little bit longer to get open. Right, we want to make sure that when we're doing all this, we're gathering this data ahead of time. How quickly you can get open? When are the next trainings? Because and you have to be available. So I always say prior to signing, outline everything. You don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to have the exact role of the general manager and things like that, but just have a you know, good understanding of kind of a time frame and plan it out accordingly. And that, and part of that planning process is personal. You know, if you have a vacation coming up, maybe a good idea to get that vacation in and start fresh in the business. You don't want to start and kind of, you know, leave the business, you know, and assuming that, you know, you can rearrange things. So lots of things to consider. In part two, we'll dive into some other things to consider with the franchise. I hope you're enjoying this. You know, we talk a lot about on the front end, but what happens after signing the franchise agreement. So thanks for joining us today. We're going to record a part two of the series here shortly. Thanks for joining us. And again, we appreciate your feedback. This was a question that I had received from a family I'm working with right now that's looking to invest in a franchise. And I said, well, this is the perfect time to record the show. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in. If you want to learn how to make the transition from corporate to owning your franchise, join Giuseppe on the next episode. You can also follow on all social media platforms and achieve financial and time freedom today.